We have a reason to rejoice tonight because Emmanuel has come. We get to celebrate the present of God's presence with us. Matthew 1:23 says this, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." How many of you have a father or maybe a husband that is impossible to buy Christmas presents for? Right, you have one of those? I think usually the men are the main culprits of being difficult to buy for. My dad was always difficult to buy presents for because if there was ever something he wanted, he bought it himself. Do you have anyone like that in your family? Like, you just never know what to get them because anything they really want, they buy themselves. So if you're getting them something, that means they don't really want it that much, because if they did, they would already have it. To make matters worse, in my father's case, his birthday is December 11th. And so you're supposed to try to come up with two things in the span of 2 weeks for my father who doesn't want anything. It's unbelievably difficult. Maybe some of you have moms that are hard to buy for, and to try to make up for it, they say things like, "All I want for Christmas is obedient children." Sorry, Mom, that's out of my price range. I want to buy some for you, but I can't afford them. So you're going to have to think of something else. Maybe as you get older, your mom would say things like, "I just want my family to be together. Being together is the only present I need. Your presence is her present." And that's especially true if your presence includes the presence of a grandchild, right? Because if you're bringing a grandchild along with you, that's pretty much all grandma needs. This evening, I want us to consider the present of God's presence with us. Emmanuel, the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before the first Christmas, had foretold that a baby would be born of a virgin, and his name would be Emmanuel, because God would be with us. That's what we celebrate with the coming of Jesus, the present of God's presence. You see, there was a time in the beginning that man had direct access to God, that man was able to be in the presence of God. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. There was no shame. There was no guilt. Then in Genesis chapter 3, everything changed. A serpent tempted Eve, and Adam and Eve, who were created for God's glory, decided to seek their own instead. They wanted to become like God. They believed the lies of the serpent rather than the truth of God, and sin entered the world. And then something very interesting happens right after they fell into sin. God shows up in the garden. And Adam and Eve's reaction to God's presence tells it all. Look at Genesis 3:8. "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Because a holy God can't be in the presence of sinful people. And sinful people don't want to be in the presence of a holy God. Throughout the Bible, we see over and over again, when people are before a presence of a holy God, there is fear and there is shame. A holy God can't be in the presence of sinful people, and sinful people don't want to be in the presence of a holy God. And so from that moment on, the relationship between God and mankind was marked by distance and by separation. Death occurred on that day because life is found where God is, and man no longer had access to God's presence because sin separates. Sin always separates. Not just anyone could get close to God anytime they wanted. In the Old Testament, there had to be representatives. In Exodus, if you remember, Moses was the Israelites' representative. And so he would go up on the mountain to meet with God, and all the rest of the people had to stay at the bottom because they couldn't gain access into God's presence because sin separates. If you think about the setup for the Jewish place of worship, the tabernacle, and then the temple, the place of worship for believers was set up in such a way that it constantly reminded the people that God was holy and that they were not. That there had to be distance. There had to be separation. So if you were a Gentile or a ceremonially unclean Jew, you had to stay in the very outer courtyards of the temple. And there were walls with signs on them reminding you of the steep penalty that you would pay if you went into a place that you didn't belong. Next, after going through the beautiful gate, was the court of women, because that was as far as women were allowed to go to worship unless they had to make a sacrifice. After that court was the inner courtyard, where the sacrifices were offered. And after offering sacrifices and going through ritual washings, only the Levitical priests could go into the holy place. But even then, in the holy place, there was separation because there was a veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, the earthly manifestation of God's presence on earth. And only the high priest, once a year, could enter into the Holy of Holies as a representative on behalf of the people on the Day of Atonement to make a sacrifice for the rest of the people, because sin separates. And so if you can imagine living in that time, even going to your place of worship regularly, you are constantly reminded you aren't good enough. You can't get to God on your own. You can't even get close. You don't have access to the presence of God because God is holy and you are not. Imagine how devastating it must have been for Israel to go into captivity and for the temple to be destroyed. The earthly manifestation of God's presence was gone. You're in a foreign land. God must have seemed so distant. And the prophets come and they are declaring God's judgment because God's people had rejected Him. But in the midst of all of that, you have verses of hope like Isaiah 7:14 that says, "The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us." Then Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then you wait, longing for that relationship to be restored, longing for deliverance. "Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, God be with us. God, we long for Your presence." Until finally, out of nowhere, after hundreds of years of silence, angels show up to a very scared Mary and later to Joseph. A virgin conceives. A last-minute trip to Bethlehem is taken. And God Himself, in the form of an infant, is born. Emmanuel has come. God is with us, and everything is about to change. The very first people that heard about the miraculous birth of Jesus are a group of shepherds. The lowest of the low, right? The most insignificant of the inconsequential are told, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." and you can find him. Think about that. The angels are saying to the shepherds, you can enter into the presence of God. These were ceremonially unclean Jews because of their job. They couldn't have even been past the outer court of the temple. And the angels come and say to them, come on in. Enter into the presence of God. Emmanuel is here. Magi are given a sign. A king has been born and they have to go see him. And so they travel at a great distance. And as Gentiles, as ones who weren't even allowed past the beautiful gate of the temple under penalty of death, Gentiles walk directly into the presence of God because Emmanuel has come. How is that possible? How is it possible that all of a sudden sinful people are allowed into the presence of God with the coming of Jesus? Has God lightened up? Is sin no longer an issue? Is God no longer holy? On the contrary, at the arrival of Christmas, the solution to our separation-causing sin arrived as well, and his name was Jesus, God with us. He lived among sinners, but himself was separate from sin. It wasn't just a holy night. He wasn't just a holy child of Mary. The Savior, Jesus, born in Bethlehem on a real day in history, announced by angels to shepherds, would live a perfect, holy life that I failed to live. He would go on to die the death that I deserve to die on a cross, taking the punishment for my sin. He would rise from the dead, conquering the grave. The holy God who is separate from sin is the solution to your sin. So that you don't have to be separate from God forever. How many of you do a gift exchange at Christmas? Maybe it's with family, maybe it's with some friends, maybe it's with co-workers. Maybe you all have someone in your family that you hope picks your name out of the hat at Christmas, because there's one person in your family that just gets better gifts than everyone else. You know that you're the lucky one. You don't want the person that's going to give you a weird sweater, right? You want someone that is going to buy you a good gift, and so you're really hoping you get that person for the family gift exchange. When you place your faith in Jesus, the greatest gift exchange ever takes place. Because Jesus takes your sin and you receive the gift of his righteousness. That is the present of his presence. You see, in saying, O come, Emmanuel, God be with us, we are longing for something that we do not deserve. We deserve God's absence. And we receive his presence. We deserve to be separate from God. And Jesus offers us to be united with him. We deserve to be punished because of our sin. And Jesus offers to give us what we don't deserve, his grace. On the very first Christmas, we all received the opposite of what we deserved when Emmanuel came to us. When I was growing up, one of the worst punishments my mom could give me was just to get so fed up with me that she said, you know what, just go. I don't even care, just go. Did your mom ever get to the point when she was so tired of dealing with you that rather than have you help her finish whatever you were supposed to help her with, whatever chores you were supposed to do, she got so tired of dealing with you, she said, you know what? I am so frustrated with you, I would just rather not be around you at all. You know what? Just go. I wonder if you ever had moms that got to that point. My mom rarely did that. She rarely got so frustrated that she didn't make me finish what I was supposed to do. But a couple times she did, and she said, you know what? Just go. Do what you want. That is a cruel punishment. Like, that is a cruel punishment. Because my mom is giving me what I thought that I wanted. But all of a sudden, I don't want it anymore. Because my mom doesn't even want to be around me anymore. I let her down. And so this thing that I thought I wanted to do that would be so much fun didn't mean much to me anymore because I knew that I let her down. She didn't even want me in her presence. You see, the worst punishment that God could give us would be to say, you know what, just go. Just go. Go live your life for yourself. Go do whatever you want to do. Go have fun. Go try to make it on your own. Get out of my presence. That would be the worst punishment God could give. And that's what most people think that they want. They think that they want God to just let them go and do whatever we want to do. And let me tell you, if God just let us go, if God just let us go on our own, that would be the death of us. Because true life, eternal life, can only be found in the presence of God. He is the life. John puts it this way. What God did instead of saying, just go, He did this. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. That's unbelievable. And we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Instead of saying, just go, live your life the way you want to live it. Go do it the way you want to do it. God came to us. Instead of executing judgment, He revealed His glory. He revealed His power. He revealed His love. Jesus was full of grace and He was full of truth. I love seeing Christmas carols year after year because they are so rich with truth, and I'm always noticing more and more truths that I haven't appreciated before. Like this line that we sang tonight from Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Think about this. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. That's incredible. God has been made visible. Hail the incarnate deity. Please, this man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. And He didn't just come to live with us. He came to die for us. You see, the presence of Jesus on the cross gives us access to the presence of God in eternity. The presence of Jesus on the cross gives you and I access to the presence of God in eternity because Jesus paid for our separation-causing sin so that we could have access to the life-giving presence of God. Your excitement for the true meaning of Christmas is directly related to your desire for God's presence. Are you longing for hope? Are you longing for peace? Are you longing for joy? Are you longing for satisfaction? Are you longing for fulfillment? Are you longing for a contentment that's going to continue after tomorrow is over? After the tree comes down? After the family vacation is done? What you are longing for is the presence of Jesus. And I have good news for you. That's for all the people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So we can rejoice. We can rejoice because Emmanuel has come. And He has come for you. And He has come for me. So the question that I want to ask you this Christmas Eve is, has Emmanuel come into your life? Is God with you? Have you taken part in the greatest gift exchange ever, where Jesus takes your sin and gives you the righteousness of Himself so that you can have access to the presence of God? I hope that tonight you will come. You will come into the presence of God. You will be able to say, oh come, Emmanuel, into my life. Because there's no better gift that you could receive this Christmas than the present of God's presence with you. There's no better gift than that. Let me pray for us. God, we're so thankful tonight for the present of your presence. Thank you for not leaving us on our own. Thank you for not just letting me go my own way, but that when I was far from you, you came near to us in the form of a baby born in a manger, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Thank you for the opportunity that we all have as a result of the work of Christ on the cross to be welcomed back in to the presence of God. I pray that tonight we would see the radiant beams from your holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. I pray that tonight we would gladly receive the present of your presence with us. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Emmanuel. And we pray this in your name. Amen.